found on page 259 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And in the spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. A new heaven and a new earth. A new creation. We look at the world today and, goodness gracious, what's the thought that comes through your mind? I mean, if they haven't already loosed the four horses of the apocalypse, I don't know. From day to day, it sure seems like they're running rampant, whether it's disease and pestilence or anger and terrible actions against people, whether it's persecution of Christians or just insane, purposeless murder and mayhem, anarchy. It's not too pretty a picture of the world today, is it? But that's if you look at it, some might say with a realistic eye, but sometimes it's too pessimistic. That eternal optimist, that little boy who goes into the farm yard and goes into the barn and looks at the pile of manure and stuff and is so ecstatic and so joyful. He runs around looking and he says, "With this much stuff in here, there's got to be a pony in here someplace." Sometimes you might feel like that. But do not despair. Jesus Christ went to the cross not for death and despair. Yes, he died there, but that was so that you might have life and have a life more abundantly. Don't forget that. When you think of how desperate your circumstances are, when you are there in the brink of despair and darkness, and Satan's right there just twisting it just a little bit more. Oh, you know, nobody really loves you. If they did, they'd be here. Nobody really cares about you, because if they did, they'd call you or write you or email you or text you or Instagram you or post on Facebook. God loves you, and he has a promise. And that promise we have comes to fruition at Calvary, at the empty tomb, at the ascension of God, and it will come again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when that trumpet sounds and the clouds open and Jesus descends. Those are the aha moments. Those are the all things new. And in this, John is having a conversation, and he's trying to articulate to us today what he saw. Keep in mind that this is someone who has never seen an airplane fly, has only seen probably that part of his life that was there in the area of Nazareth, Judea, Galilee, those places where John had been, Patmos, etc. The early life of a person in the Mediterranean. Those are his experiences. Hasn't seen a car, hasn't seen a moped, hasn't seen a telephone, a cell phone, a television, a movie. They don't have pyrotechnics. They don't have laser light shows. He doesn't have any of those things to draw from when he describes and articulates what has been shown to him. So keep that in mind. And the words that he uses to describe these things are words that people could actually in that day understand. Do you guys know what amethyst looks like? All the ladies know what an amethyst looks like because they know jewels. Guys, how many of you know what an amethyst looks like? Man, it's a rock. Oh, it's your, well, okay. Yeah, yeah. But think about that. As we describe, as John describes what he has seen and is seeing, you got to focus on that. It's not that they're... Anyway. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Keep in mind, everything that we see out there, as wonderful and beautiful as it might be, those irises that are out, the crocuses that are out, those other yellow flowers, I can't think of what they're called. those aren't flowers. Oh, there's the flowers. Okay. Daffodils and other flowers. Those, as beautiful as they are, pale in comparison to what we're going to see in that new heaven, that new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Where's the new Jerusalem coming from? From heaven. Who's making it? God is. So guess what? You and I don't have anything to say about what it looks like. You and I don't get to... You know, I would have put it over there. I don't really like that. Don't worry. God's got it in... God's doing it, and it's going to be what he thinks is perfect. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them." Now, the translation of verse 3, and you guys can turn to page 258 in your hymnals, not hymnals, the Bibles that you have in your pews. It's the second to the last page in the book, so pretty easy to find. Well, actually, there are other stuff in the book, but the last page of the actual scriptures, it says that in some of the translations, a loud voice coming from the throne, "See, the home of God is among mortals," and it's translated as the tabernacle. The home of God is where he's worshipped. That's where he's worshipped. The home of God. And this throne, in another passage, this throne of God is both God and Jesus. He will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them. For those of you that are despairing and having a tough time and a tough day, look at this. He will wipe every tear from your eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. for the first things have passed away. Those things that we recognize as a commonplace occurrence here in the earth where we are, if you don't think it's a commonplace occurrence, if you've had a Pollyanna life, I don't think there are too many out there that have. Everyone's lost a parent or a sibling or a cousin or something like that. Everyone has seen a loved one or another person in despair, worrying about health issues. But all of that will be no more. And the one who is seated on the throne said, now it says, and the one who's seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. The last words of Jesus from the cross, it is finished. That was the start of the finish. This is, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. How many times we see Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, and we think, okay, well, he's using that as a way, a vehicle to articulate the Greek alphabet. First letter is Alpha, the last letter is Omega, the beginning, the end. Well, think of it this way. Not only is it the beginning, when Jesus says, I am the Alpha, that Alpha is the source. In John chapter 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they're the Word of God. They're the source of everything, for nothing was created without Him. There is no life absent God. There might be something short of that existence, but if they don't have God, they're not going to have life. Some people may not agree with that. Okay. But I think if you're living your life without God, then you aren't living. You are. You may be breathing. You may have a pulse. You may have a brainwave. You may even be awake. But if you're living without God, you're not really living. The Alpha, He is the source. He's the initiator. He's the beginning and the end. Alpha, Omega. Not only is Omega the end in the sense that, okay, well, that's where the alphabet ends, or that's where the story ends. But you know what? You and I aren't at the end yet. You and I are in the dash. You know the people that are out there and the bodies that are out there beneath those headstones or near those headstones? People have said, you know, you look at the markings on the headstone and it has a name and it has a series of dates. It might have just a year, or it might have a day, a month, a year. And then there's a dash. And then there's another day, a month, and a year. You and I are in that dash. You and I are in that run. You and I are, to use the words of Paul, we are running a race. Some of us should be running more races. Some of us are just walking right now because we're not ready to run yet. But we're running a race. We are in this dash. This is our lives. This is what we get. This is what we have as an opportunity to make something of our lives for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit, for our Creator, God. The Omega is not just the end, but it's the goal. It's where we're aiming for. It's what we're striving to attain and achieve. And you know what? Wesley said that he had a hope to reach perfection here on earth. Now, some might say that's bold talk. Some might say that's, yeah, not very believable. But you do look for and aim for things. When Roger Bannister started running in England, the 4-minute mile, no one had eclipsed a 4-minute time for the measured mile. No one. He trained, he ran, and the race course wasn't really set up for it, and no one had ever done it before because nobody trained believing that they could. He looked at, trained for, and worked to beat a 4-minute mile. And you know what? He got there. Everybody had said, there's just no way. They didn't believe it was possible. And now we have people that are running a mile in 3 minutes and less than 50 seconds. Doesn't seem like much, but when try running a mile in less than 6 or 7 minutes, and he's running it in less than 4. In terms, it's in relative things, in my mind, the best time I ever had for a mile was 5:10. So I'm one of those that said, no, 4-minute mile ain't going to happen. Roger Bannister saw it as a challenge, saw it as a goal. That was his omega, alpha omega, in a sports realm, in a sports venue, and he attained it. You and I have another 4-minute mile to run. If you don't want to run a 4-minute mile, that's okay. But you and I have a goal to attain, and that is perfection. Are we going to get there? By the Holy Spirit power, by the grace of God, by the presence and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what? Hope is a marvelous thing. Who knows what summer is going to be when she grows up? She's got hope. Who knows what you're going to be as you walk those? You know, there's always that doubt in, you know, that flash of water and realism. But when Jesus says, when the voice says the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the source, the Omega, the goal, something to strive for, this is what God is promising us. This is this new body, this new humanity, this all things new. The corruption that's out there, gone. The sickness that's out there, gone. The death that's out there, gone. The lies, gone. I really don't like pink, or I really don't like purple. Can you imagine a world where all we're doing is saying what's true, how we really feel? But you know, it's going to be said in love. It's going to be truth. We're going to be speaking truth to each other, even though sometimes it's a tough truth. Sometimes it's a hard thing to understand. I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. You and I, see, the water of life, this water of life that flows from the throne of God, this river of life, this is coming from God Himself. He's giving us this spring of life. That's how we get perfection, by his blessing. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 17. We take on the full armor of God. When you start with Ephesians 6:10, we know why. Because there are powers and principalities that are not of this earth. There are things and struggles in our lives that we must face, and we have to put on the full armor of God. And with that, we conquer. And they will be my children. And there's always the flip side. But as for the cowardly, and when they say cowardly, the commentators say the meaning that's there are those who deny Christ. You know, we look at the Christians that are being persecuted, some of them beheaded, some of them sold into sex slavery, whatever. Around the world by different people, whether it's ISIS or someone else. But there are people in walks of life that, because of a fear of acceptance or fear of what someone else is going to think of themselves, they deny Christ. If we deny Christ, an ultimate cowardice. The faithless, Our faith is not in humanity. Our faith is in God. Because if our faith is in humanity, is there a perfect person out there? Go ahead, raise your hand. Now, come on. Nobody's perfect? Oh, come on. Now, there are people out here who we have faith in. There are people in here who are worthy of us having faith in them. Sometimes. There's one in whom we can have faith always, every time, every circumstance, every situation. And that is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters. Well, I'm not one of those. I love God. How many of you like really, really fast cars? Really, really fast boats? I mean, you really love them. Fishing boats. Okay. Sailboats, things of this earth. We have this propensity to love things. And we want them. And we put getting them above serving God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a fishing boat. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a cabin cruiser. But when we put getting those things above serving God, then we have made a small g out of that thing that we're pursuing. We can still get that small thing. We can still get that boat. But we can still serve God as well as we're on that process. So it's serving Him to the point where we know who we are following. We know who we have faith in. And all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." You know who the bride is? The church, the body of believers. That's you and me. The wife of the Lamb. The Lamb is Christ Jesus. The Lamb is the sacrificial sacrifice for you and for me for eternity. And in the Spirit He carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, making all things new. All things new. How many of you shop for a car? Gone to the dealership. You look at the car and it's got 0 miles on it. How many times does that happen? They reset the number. No, I'm kidding. And you open the car door and you just look in and it just shines perfectly. And it's so clean. And you sit in that car. Feel the leather. August died for those hides. And you're just looking at all the devices and electronics and thinking, I hope that's covered in the owner's manual. I'm going to need a course on how to operate this. But you're sitting there and enjoying this brand new car. And then you get the key. The salesman sits next to you. Wife's in the back, or maybe you're in the back and the wife is driving. That happens. And you get drive down the road. And you just, everything just feels new and different. There is not even the smallest comparison of the joy of driving that car, that new car, to having that new life. It is so impossible to describe, so impossible to articulate, because even the words that are used here, and if you turn on page 260 in your Bible, and he's continuing with verse 18. The wall is built of jasper, while the city is pure gold, clear as glass. Now, keep in mind, John is telling us what he sees in a context of how he thinks sees things. Is it gold? I don't know, but it looks like gold. Is it clear as glass? Pure gold? Clear as glass? How in the world is it pure gold if it's clear as glass? Last time I looked at gold, you can't see through it. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every jewel, the first jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite. Never saw it. I have no idea what that is. The eighth beryl, the ninth topaz. Got topaz, my birthstone. The tenth chrysoprase, 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is a single pearl. Now, how in the world are we going to get through the gates if it's a pearl? It's a big pearl. Okay. And the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. As Suzanne was singing and we're looking at that new Jerusalem and the words come out, can you see yourself getting ready to go into that new Jerusalem? And you know what? There's another song. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. And that song is not referring to the Jerusalem where there's turmoil today or the Jerusalem where Jesus had just walked down the streets and down that Via Della Rosa. That Jerusalem is that Jerusalem, and it's coming. Whether it's topaz or amethyst, or gold or pearls, it's going to even be better. A new heaven, a new earth, all things new, and we will be there with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because as we receive His body given and His blood shed, we have a promise and we have a date. We have a date with God. We have a date for eternal life. And it is going to be, hallelujah, praise be to God, wonderful. All things new. And who makes it? And where does it come from? From Jesus, from God. And we are going to enjoy it. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.